Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Following King Saul's disobedience to God's commands and his proud stand to ignore his need to trust in God while Israel's first king, God rejected him. However, Saul still remained as king for 40 years. In the Bible book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, sometime after King Saul had defeated the Amalekites, the Lord told Samuel to go to Bethlehem in Judah and anoint as king one of the sons of a man called Jesse. Samuel was afraid that if King Saul heard about this, he would kill Samuel. So the Lord told Samuel to take a calf to sacrifice and to invite Jesse and his sons to share in the sacrificial meal. At this feast, God would indicate to Samuel which son he was to anoint as Israel's next king. When Samuel arrived in Bethlehem, the city's elders were fearful of Samuel's presence and wondered if he was coming to bring judgment on them from the Lord. Samuel told them that he'd come in peace and he was offering a sacrifice, to which he invited them all to join him. He also invited Jesse and his sons and told them to purify themselves in readiness for the occasion. Jesse's oldest son was tall and handsome, just as King Saul had been in his youth. Samuel thought this would be the son whom God would anoint. But God reminded Samuel that he looked at a person's heart, while Samuel had been looking at a man's outward appearance. After Jesse's seven sons had presented themselves, God hadn't indicated his choice to Samuel. So Samuel realized that Jesse must have an eighth son that he still hadn't seen. So the very youngest in the family, David, who'd been out looking after the family's sheep, was also called into the feast. When David arrived, God instructed Samuel to anoint David as king, which he did in front of Jesse's family. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day onward. Then Samuel returned home. The anointing of David as the second king of Israel was Samuel's last major act of service to the Lord. Meanwhile, the power of God's Spirit had departed from King Saul, and God replaced his Holy Spirit with a distressing spirit. Saul's attendants suggested that Saul find a good harpist to soothe his times of distress with beautiful music. Saul agreed, and one of the attendants suggested Jesse's son David could play for him. One of God's purposes in sending the troubled spirit on Saul was to bring David into Saul's service. Thus, unwittingly, King Saul brought into his service the very person anointed to replace him as king. Samuel, now an aged prophet, had accomplished his mission to lead Israel from the rule of the judges to the rule of God's choice of a king, David.
You say the king wants me to come to the royal palace?
You will come to court and play for his majesty.
The king commands, I obey.
You are a good player, my son. You may go now.
But what about the sheep, Father? Who will take care of them?
Oh, the servants can do it. But right now, my three eldest sons are my most important concern. They joined the army and are fighting the Philistines. It's been quite some time since I've had news of the war or thy brothers. So take some parched corn and bread and cheese and go to the battle and find out how your three brothers fare.
So Father sent the little shepherd boy to the battlefront to see how we are, did he?
Why are ye?
Well, Father was worried about you and he sent the...
I am a Philistine! Fight me!
Well, who's that man shouting and bragging?
His name is Goliath, and he...
This day, give me a man that we may fight together and decide the outcome of this battle.
Does he really mean that the outcome of a fight between him and one of our men will decide the battle?
That's sometimes the custom.
Then why doesn't someone go out there and fight him?
Because, my dear little brother, Goliath is a giant. Giant! and all Israel is afraid of him.
Well, I'll fight him.
What?
I'll fight that giant.
You? A shepherd lad fight a trained soldier, a giant at that? You should be home tending the sheep like a good little boy.
But you, you're just a youth.
Yes, Your Majesty.
They told me you were bragging that you'd go down there and fight the Philistine giant.
Well, I will, Your Majesty. The giant defies the armies of the living God, and thy servant shall go out and fight this Philistine.
But you're not even a soldier, just a...
The same God will deliver me from the hand of this mighty Philistine.
Go, my son, and the Lord be with you.
The Israelite king has not sent you out to fight me.
You come to me, Philistine, with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down.
Abner!
Yes, Your Majesty.
What happened? The giant fell to the earth, and the lad standeth upon him.
Yes, Your Majesty. The youth slung his slingshot and hit the giant on the forehead, and caused him to fall upon his face to the ground. And now the lad severs the giant's head with Goliath's own sword.
He is a very brave and courageous young man.
Giant is subdued!
Battle is over! Hey!
In the Bible book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 is recorded one of the most famous battles in Israel's history. The enemy Philistines had assembled for war on one side of a valley in Judah, while the Israelite army under King Saul had set themselves up on the other side. Each day for 40 days, a mighty Philistine warrior named Goliath came out to stand in the valley between both armies and challenge any Israelite to an individual contest with him. Goliath, however, was a giant, and he stood over 9 feet high, or 3 meters tall. It was common in ancient times for each side in a battle to send out a champion to fight each other so much bloodshed could be avoided. Whichever champion won, his side was declared the battle victor. It was also believed that the opposing gods of each side were represented by the two champions. Thus, it was generally believed that the champion with the strongest gods would help him to be the winner. Because of Goliath's great size, no one in Saul's army dared to face him. Whenever Goliath made his daily challenge, all those in the Israelite camp were so terrified that no one would challenge him. Because of their lack of faith, King Saul and his army stopped believing in the covenant promises God had previously made to them. At this time, the Philistines were occupying part of the promised land of Canaan, yet God had promised the Israelites that he would drive out all the nations living there for them. God had also told the Israelites not to be afraid of their enemies, as God was far greater. The fact that they were very afraid of Goliath was proof that a new leader was greatly needed in Israel. When Jesse sent his youngest son David to take food to the battlefront for his three older brothers, Jesse was really wanting news of the battle, as by then it had been 6 weeks since the armies had made contact. David arrived and started talking to the soldiers, but his oldest brother Eliab wasn't very pleased to see him do this. Maybe Eliab was angry to see his little brother David because he felt jealous over David being anointed as king. Or maybe it was from the shame that he felt about his own fearfulness of the giant. Despite Eliab's harsh words to him, David didn't let this stop him from talking to the soldiers further, and eventually David was brought before King Saul. David told the king that the armies of the living God were being defiled by this giant Goliath, and that he was prepared to go out and fight the giant. David gave an account of his own experiences of fighting off wild animals barehanded when they'd attacked the sheep in his care. Yet David credited God as the one who preserved him. Therefore he expressed his faith in God and believed that God would again deliver him if he fought against Goliath on behalf of Israel. David was risking his life by taking on this task. yet he fully trusted God to bring him a victorious battle. Finally, King Saul conceded that David was the only man willing to take on Goliath, so he gave his blessing for David to fight. As David was young and not a large seasoned warrior, Saul insisted that David wear his own heavy armor into the fight, but David found that he couldn't even walk in it, so he took it all off and continued to trust God for the victory. David collected 5 smooth stones from the stream that ran through the valley, and he went out to challenge the giant with one thing, his slingshot. However, a slingshot was no mere child's weapon. A skilled slinger could hurl a stone with deadly accuracy at speeds of up to 240 kilometers or 150 miles per hour. Yet when Goliath saw what kind of a warrior Israel had sent out to fight him, he was completely insulted. He told David in no uncertain terms what he would do with David's soon-to-be dead body. David then responded with some of the most powerful words in the Old Testament. David would fight the giant in the name of the Lord Almighty, as a representative of God himself. David would fight on God's behalf, and God would give him the victory. Then everyone in the whole world would know that Israel's God was supreme over all other gods. We see that God didn't need a sword or a spear to save Israel. He got the same result by using a stone and a slingshot used by a young man who fully trusted in him. As soon as the Philistines saw that their champion Goliath had fallen and that the young Israeli was cutting off his head with his own sword, they fled from the Israelites. The Israelite army chased them all the way back to their own territory. David kept Goliath's weapons, but he took the giant's head to Jerusalem, which was occupied at that time by the Jebusites. Maybe this was a warning to them that the same fate of the giant could also happen to them in the future. King Saul had promised that whoever killed Goliath would be given great riches, his daughter's hand in marriage, and that his family would be exempt from paying any more taxes. As David was going out to fight the giant, King Saul asked his army commander Abner, who was also his cousin, the name of David's father. Saul knew who David was, but he'd forgotten who his father was. Since David might soon be joining his family, Saul wanted to know more of his family background. The David and Goliath situation is a phrase now in the English language to mean that against overwhelming odds, a weaker person can win over an experienced and heavily armed opponent or over great difficulties. Many of us at some point in our lives meet with such an insurmountable obstacle that we think that gaining any victory is impossible. Yet our God says that He is the God of the impossible. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 19, the Lord Jesus says, "With God, all things are possible." Are you prepared to trust the Lord Jesus with your life and future in the same way that David trusted in his God? God wants us to learn to trust Him in all situations, even when everything seems to be going wrong or everything is going right. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation."
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.